Your mind can be a more powerful healer than any drug, treatment, or therapy. In some cases, if your brain believes that you'll get better, your body will follow suit. Though this doesn't happen all the time, when it does occur, you might not even know it. Maybe you think you're taking pain medication when in reality the doctor gave you sugar pills. But if the medication is fake, why do you feel better? This is called the placebo effect. A placebo is a substance or treatment prescribed to an individual that has no known therapeutic effect. However, the patient believes it's real medication that will heal their condition.
You basically start paying less attention to what's actually happening to you, to your body, to your sensations and everything. And you start thinking more about what's about to happen. And that creates it's a reflection of a sense of expectation. You know you just took a pill, and now you start thinking with your frontal lobe, this might make me feel better. And so you stop paying attention to your own body, you start mentalizing and thinking about what might happen. And that's the expression of the placebo effect. And it's so strong that, as you know from the literature, sometimes the placebo effect is as strong as a regular treatment, because it's about you thinking that you are about to get better and your symptom will go away.
That's Dr. Emiliano Santarnicki, Associate Professor of Radiology at Harvard Medical School and a research director at Massachusetts General Hospital. He says the placebo effect demonstrates the power of the mind-body connection, giving truth to the old saying, mind over matter. Santarnicki explains that the surprising effects of placebo pills occur in an area of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. This region is responsible for processing physical pain as well as our emotions. And though scientists have used placebos since the 1700s, the discovery of its neurological effects are relatively new.
I didn't have any way to look into the brain directly until a few years ago, I would say a decade ago or more, when we start looking at actually what happened in the brain when you get a placebo response. I gave you a placebo agent, something that it's an inert substance that shouldn't do anything. But I actually see a lot of activations in the brain. And people got curious, finally. And now we have entire lines of research dedicated to this. And the idea is that when you get a placebo response, you basically have some sort of a shutdown of sensory regions in the brain and region related to interoception. So everything that is about you paying attention to your own body and your own feelings. And actually region in the prefrontal part of the brain, in the frontal lobe, in the more anterior part of the brain, actually lights up.
Activating regions associated with motor function, memory, and problem solving. However, it's important to note that placebos only treat symptoms, not the underlying cause. For example, a recent study in the journal Supportive Care in Cancer proves that placebos can be effective in treating cancer-related fatigue. In this case, the placebo is treating fatigue, not the cancer itself. However, researchers still don't have a clear understanding of why placebo treatments work. But Santarnicki thinks brain imaging research may hold the answer. He hopes that his research changes the way scientists view the placebo effect.
Maybe we should look at placebo not as a problem, but as a resource. Because in a lot of clinical trials, placebo is the scary monster that every clinician doesn't want to see. You don't want to see your placebo group actually experiencing the same effect as the real drug. Otherwise, it's a failed trial.
With that being said, a placebo is not intended to be the sole therapeutic for treating disease. Santarnicki says it should be used in tandem with other methods. For example, patients taking a placebo pill for fatigue should continue taking their other medications that treat the underlying condition.
Maybe we can use the placebo intervention and then we also put a drug on top of it or magnetic stimulation. And 1 + 1 would make 3 instead of 2. So placebo could be added as a therapy to any other intervention because it's safe and it has a very good safety profile.
Santarnicki believes this approach could be beneficial when treating psychological conditions such as depression. Some current therapies for depression include deep brain stimulation and transcranial magnetic stimulation.
In the case of deep brain stimulation, we actually implant a stimulator inside the brain. In the case of TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation, we don't do any surgery. It's a non-invasive technique. We just put a magnetic coil on the scalp of a patient, and then we release a high magnetic field that, as soon as it reaches the brain, turns into electricity and activates the brain cells, neurons, makes them activate, basically, make them fire and pulse. When you do this, you basically can generate activity in the brain. And if you zap, if you hit and stimulate the right region in the brain, you can induce a response. And if you do it in the region that are basically affected by depression, in this case is a region in the prefrontal lobe of the brain, you can actually make the region activate more than what it would do usually in a patient with depression, where the activity of that region is inhibited. And so you can actually reactivate that region.
And given Santarnicki's findings on how placebos activate the brain, he began wondering if placebo stimulation treatments could also be effective in treating depression. During his research, Santarnicki discovered that the same part of the brain activated during a placebo effect is also responsible for depression. He questioned if a placebo treatment could somehow produce identical results as a traditional brain stimulation procedure. Patients would be put in the same surgical environment as if they were receiving the real treatment. The sound of clicks would alert patients that an impulse had been sent. But in reality, no electrical signals would be fired into the brain. Santarnicki predicts this method would be more effective than typical placebo trials because the process is more complex than simply swallowing a pill.
Because you are in a room with a lot of hardware and displays and monitors and computers, and you have a doctor with a white coat stimulating your brain, and you can hear the machine making a click, like a noise, every time you send a pulse. You can see your brain projector on a screen. Like, it's very placebo-inducing. Like, you build a lot of expectation. Wow, with all these things, there is a doctor stimulating my brain directly with magnetic pulses. When something is going to happen, they're going to do something good.
Whereas taking a pill is a common part of many people's morning routine. Prior to Santarnicki's proposal, placebo brain stimulation was completely unheard of. And though this trial, if FDA approved, could provide new therapeutic options, it also raises some ethical questions. A key part of placebo treatment involves deceiving a patient. Is it ethical for doctors to prescribe fake medication to someone who believes it's real? Santarnicki says this is a main hurdle in his research.
That's the biggest challenge here. We need to be careful about how do you tell people, how do you enroll them in a study? And even if the therapy is approved after you run a clinical trial and you see the placebo itself can do something, how do you deliver that therapy to a patient in the future? That's a good question, right? Like, at that point that we know that it's placebo. So you need to mask it as part of other intervention. Maybe it's a cognitive training intervention when there is also a placebo induction component. Now everything together gives you the effect. And maybe the placebo component is only 30 or 40% of the effect.
While many more discussions are needed before Santarnicki's idea becomes a reality, he's hopeful that placebo treatments will be used in the future to help treat psychological disorders. You can find more information about Dr. Emiliano Santarnicki and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our associate producer this week is Grace Galanti. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson. Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
I think we've been aware of microplastics longer than we care to admit.
The nearly invisible problem with plastic.
Then have you thought about the future of public safety?
I think that we're at a point in history, actually, where we can transform something that is a human right and a human need.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal. I'm Reed Pence, the producer and host of Radio Health Journal. If you like listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics, from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
There was a kid from South Philly, a third floor walk-up, had left me standing at midcourt before 10 or 11,000 fans.
One man's journey from fighting to play in the NBA to becoming coach of the year. Then,
for those kids' parents, that white t-shirt would have been seen as underwear. So for them to wear it out the house sort of by itself would have kind of raised eyebrows, which no doubt they were keen to do.
The evolution of the classic white tee. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at radiohealthjournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.